It was pretty exciting to see everybody get baptized last Sunday, and just truly, truly a great time. Now, I know some of you didn't get to make it because you were looking for parking out there, but we had this incredible group out there. But yeah, some people were looking for parking for like a half an hour and still didn't find parking, and there was some debate on where Mother's Beach truly is by different people. But thank you for your grace in that, but we had a great time, and yes, let's give the Lord a hand for everybody who got baptized last Sunday. What a great time to celebrate our life in Christ and really to publicly proclaim who Jesus Christ is to literally hundreds and hundreds of people who are on the beach with us. So what a fantastic time. Well, I shared a couple weeks ago, by the way, my name is John, if we haven't met before, and just glad to be with you this summer. Well, not more than summer, but some of you who I met, I just met a few people for the first time today, and we're so glad God has brought you to Encounter. But a couple weeks ago, we got done doing vacation in Costa Rica, and one of the activities we did while we were there was an adventure tour. And as part of that adventure tour, we did whitewater tubing, all right? So not rafting, but tubing. And so, you know, who had the idea to send inner tubes down a river with whitewater instead of inner tubes? I don't know. But we showed up for our adventure. And first you get on this bus and you wait for the bus to show up and you get on there and it like takes you deep into the forest in Costa Rica. We had no idea where we were going. We got to where they dropped us off and then you waited for instructions, and someone came and gave some instructions, and I'm just going to tell you, for all the waterfalls and drop-offs and white water that were ahead, our instructions were really short, all right? Then you waited in line for your gear, and your gear consisted of three things. A helmet, which is rather handy when you're getting bounced against rocks back and forth, because when you're on an inner tube, you know, you stick out of your inner tube. It's not like when you're in a raft and you're protected by the raft. Then the next piece of your gear was a life vest, which is kind of handy because sometimes you get thrown out of your inner tube when you're going down the white water. And then finally you get your tube, this highly engineered precision craft, okay, that you get into. And your inner tube has this little canvas that keeps your body from going through the bottom of your inner tube and two straps that you hold on to for dear life as you go down the river. Then you walk down this path and you wade into the water and you can hear the water roaring downstream down this canyon below, and there are these guides that get in and kind of go ahead of you and help you out as you're going down some of the more difficult parts of the river. But as I started riding down this river, one of the things you realize kind of subtly as you're going along is that someone had placed these boulders rather strategically to keep you in the main part of the river and to keep you from going into some of the more dangerous areas. And these boulders were placed with great purpose to keep you on course in your ride. In many ways, they were like guardrails to keep you in the main flow of the river. Now, we're continuing a message series this summer that we are calling Summer Playlist. And today I want to share with you another verse that all of us need to have on our playlist when it comes to being a follower of Jesus Christ. It's another life verse for me. It's just a verse that God has brought back into my journey with Him at multiple times in my life. It's Psalm 27, verse 14. And in Psalm 27, verse 14, really what we're given are some holy guardrails to hold us whenever we are waiting on the Lord for something in life. These holy guardrails for us. And there are these times in life where you're praying and you're just waiting for God to do something. You're waiting on Him. And He gives us these guardrails to hold us firmly and securely in our walk with Him in this passage. Now, in a moment, I'm going to have you stand and read it. But before we do, on the screen, we have a QR code for you. And if you ever want to use your phone or your iPad, you can actually scan that. It'll take you to our message notes. It has all the verses from the message. There are also all the main points are there, even some of the quotes. And you'll also find some Bible study questions if you want to talk about the message as a family or in a small group Bible study. Later on, you can do that as well. But before we read our passage, first we have a little church news, and it's some happy news for someone in our church. Her name is Tanya Hunt, and she has been the graphic artist for Encounter for 27 years. 27 years. And she is retiring at the end of July, and so we're celebrating her. She comes to our second service, but some things you got to know about Tanya Hunt. Basically, anything visual that you have seen online or, you know, on social media or here on Sundays, it has been touched by the heart of Tanya Hunt. And when someone has been in a graphic arts role for 27 years, that means, like, they have been able to navigate the changes in the tools used for graphic arts over three decades, which is pretty amazing. And 27 years on staff here means that she has served and ministered to so many different ministries in our church and so many different capacities. It means that she has served under four different lead pastors. Talk about endurance right there. That's pretty amazing. But for me, when it comes to Tanya, one of the things that's so special about her, she was actually one of the first staff members of Encounter that I got to interact with personally before I came. It was a little bit more than a year ago I came to do my candidating message. Do you remember that? A year ago in July. It was July 11th. And I got to talk to her on the phone because she did all the slides for the message that day. And I just remember Tanya was so welcoming to me. I was nervous before I got to meet all of you. And she just welcomed us into our church families, which is what she has been doing for 27 years for so many different people. So can we give the Lord a hand for Tanya Hunt, church family? So we're thankful for her. We had a little party for her this week, and she'll be in the next service if you see her. So stand with me. We're going to read Psalm 27, verse 14, and look at some guardrails that lead us to the heart of Christ when we're in the wait. All right, this is Psalm 27, verse 14. I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to invite you to read it with me out loud with passion. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. And let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 14. Begin with me, church. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. And let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. We're going to get to know that verse really well today. Would you pray with me? Father God, we just thank you that we get to come to you today celebrating what you are doing in lives through baptism, celebrating people like Tanya who have just been part of the heart of this church staff. We thank you for her and that she now has a season ahead where she just gets to do life and ministry in a different way as a part of our church family, but not working on staff, God. We've just been so blessed by her. We ask you to bless her today. Father, we ask you to speak to us through your living word this morning. We are grateful to be here. We love you, and we give this time to you. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, Psalm 27 was written by King David of Israel, and it's a psalm of lament and longing. It's a psalm of warfare and worship at this point in David's life. It's a psalm of persecution and presence. And there are certain psalms in the Bible that are singing about God. There are some psalms in the Bible where people are singing to God. And in this particular psalm, David is actually talking to himself and before the Lord. And it actually is good to talk to ourselves sometimes. Don't look at me like that's strange. You all know that you all talk to yourselves. In fact, we all talk to ourselves before the Lord quite a bit. And so what David's doing here is pretty natural, but it's good to do when you're speaking the truth. And I know that none of us in the room like to wait. I saw this study this week. Timex did a study once on how long people are willing to wait for certain things. So if you come up to someone at a stoplight and it turns green and you're behind them and they don't go, the study found that the average person will wait 13 seconds before honking, all right? Now, I'm looking around the room and I'm thinking most of you are probably like three-second people, all right? I'm probably right around there myself. The study also found that when you're at a movie theater and people are talking out loud, people will wait about 26 seconds before shushing the people who are talking while the movie is going. People on average will wait 13 minutes to get a table at a restaurant, you know? They will wait on average at Thanksgiving for the last person to show up 20 minutes before they'll go ahead and eat the meal without them, okay? The average doctor's visit today, you will wait about 26 minutes. Shame on you doctors out there. I'm teasing. We got a lot of medical people in the room. In fact, if you go to a specialist, you'll wait 30 minutes. If you go to the ER, you will wait on average 4 hours and 7 minutes, which is a little ironic, thinking that usually you're in a rush when you're at the ER for something like that. But we all wait for things. But what does it mean to wait for the Lord? And what are you and I waiting on the Lord for right now in life? I'm sure some of us in this room are waiting on the Lord for some people that we love to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and we're praying for them and sharing with them and loving them along the way. Maybe you're praying for a friend and their marriage to be strengthened, or your own marriage. Maybe you are praying just for, like what we talked about last Sunday, asking God for direction and discernment with a decision that is ahead of you. But that really is the crux of the matter. That's the heart of it, is you are waiting. It hasn't happened yet, and you want it to happen. And you're waiting and saying, Lord, it's kind of time. Lord, I really like for this to happen. And Psalm 27, verse 14, gives us some guardrails that lead us to the heart of Christ while we're in the wait. And the first guardrail that we see is really clear, and that is to wait for the Lord. That word wait, biblically defined, means to look for, to hope in, to expect in Christ, where we're not simply waiting for something, but we're actually waiting for someone. We're waiting for the Lord. Look at the verse again. Wait for, what does it say? Or who does it say? The Lord. So many times we're waiting for something, and God in this verse redirects us and tells us to wait for Him in the midst of that, to be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. And David, at this point in his life, he's waiting for a lot of things from the Lord. He's got a lot of emotional and turmoil and things going on in his life. And in the wait, the question becomes, are we waiting for the thing that we're waiting for? Or are we waiting for the Lord to show up in the midst of that thing? And there's a subtle difference, because we tend to wait for the thing, and God redirects us, invites us to wait for Him. And that thing that we might be waiting for is probably a good thing. It might even be a biblical thing. You know, praying and waiting for peace in this world is a good thing. That is close to the Lord's heart. It's a good thing to wait for the Lord for. Waiting for a relationship to be healed. God is all about reconciliation and restoration. Those are good things to be trusting in, hoping in, and waiting for the Lord for. And His answers, sometimes when He gives them to us, they're yes, as we know. Sometimes they're no. Sometimes they're wait. Sometimes they're completely different than we ever expected and so much greater than we could have imagined. And sometimes they're just completely different than we ever could have seen when we're looking to Him. And it's good to look for Him and hope in Him and expect in Him to show up however He chooses, whenever He chooses, in the wait. And in the journey of the wait, there's a second command, a guardrail that keeps our hearts close to His heart. And this guardrail talks more about what God wants to do in us while we're waiting for Him. And the second guardrail is to be strong. So look at verse 14 again. Wait for the Lord. Say it with me. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Strong, by definition, is having the power to move heavy weights or to withstand great force or pressure. So follow me with this, church family. So while we're all waiting on the Lord, God wants us to be strong by His power, meaning that while we're waiting, He's going to move some of the heavy things in our lives through our relationship with Him. And He's also going to strengthen us to push back against some of the pressures that would pull us off course or push us off course while we're waiting for Him. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "But He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for My power is made perfect in weakness. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" God's grace gets us through the wait. Can I hear an amen? And God's grace is what shapes us in our weaknesses while we're waiting on the Lord for different things in life. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." Some of you who were with us a little while back, we did a message series through 2 Corinthians. We titled it Unbreakable But Broken. And we looked at all these different ways in life where God is shaping us even in our brokenness. And we used this illustration of the ancient Japanese art of kintsugi. And kintsugi, basically they take these ancient vessels and pots that are broken and they repair them using a lacquer that's dusted with gold and platinum and silver. And the idea behind kintsugi is that the breakage of an object is not something to be hidden, but the repair is actually to be highlighted as that vessel is put back into use. And it's exactly what God does as we follow Jesus Christ. He takes our brokenness, our sin, as we give it to Him, and He puts us back together through His resurrection power. And some of our pains in life that we give to the Lord actually become part of the platform for the glory of God as we get to know Jesus. And some of the trials that we go through in life actually become part of His testimony that God uses to point others to Him through our life as we follow Him. And so while I'm waiting for the thing, good things, good answers from God, God is inviting me to look for, hope in, and expect in Him. And during the wait, He wants me to know He's going to move with His power, and that sometimes while I'm waiting, He's going to move some rocks in my life. He's going to take some things that are heavy in my life and He's going to shape them while I'm waiting on Him for something. And that He's going to give me the strength to withstand the forces that come against us whenever we're waiting on the Lord for something. And let's just consider what some of the heavy weights in life might be while we're waiting on God for something. Well, maybe a weight in our life would be, I don't know, maybe something like unforgiveness. Man, doesn't that weigh you down? When we have unforgiveness in our heart, man, it just weighs us down. And sometimes while we're waiting on the Lord for something else, He'll kind of whisper to us, well, there's some unforgiveness there that I need to give over to the Lord as I experience His forgiveness to share that forgiveness with others around me. Or maybe another thing that might be something, a rock that God wants to move in our heart while we're waiting for Him to do something else in life would be anger. Has anybody in the room bit off the head of a family member recently? I had this moment earlier in the week. I came home. I was late for a meeting that I needed to get to. One of my daughters was homesick that day, and I had just like had all these things that I thought needed to be done. I just bit her head off for no reason. Ever done that to a family member? I had to totally apologize for it later because of the way that I spoke to her. And you know, Jason talked about giving our anger over to the Lord just a couple weeks ago. There are so many things that God shapes in us while we're waiting on Him. Maybe it's giving up our plan for our life and beginning to trust God's plan as we wait on the Lord. Maybe it's actually seeing the people in front of us in life right now instead of just always thinking about the people who are in our preferred future. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says this. By the way, it was the first passage I ever spoke to you on as your pastor, by the way. Actually, I wasn't your pastor yet. You hadn't voted for me yet, but it was that day. And this is what Hebrews 12, 1 says. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Waiting with endurance in Christ calls for us pushing through and throwing off weights. And sometimes that's sin. Sometimes it's just internal things that are going on that we need to give over to the Lord. Because we feel like sometimes in life, I don't know about you, but when you're waiting for something that's really important to you before the Lord, don't you sometimes feel like you hit your heartbreak hill, like you can't go any further? How many of you have run a marathon before? Just raise your hand. Curious out there. Wow, good job, Encounter family. How many of you have run the Boston Marathon? I want to see anybody out there. We must be West Coast runners over here, okay? The Boston Marathon has this infamous hill that it's a part of. A marathon is 26.2 miles. The Boston Marathon has this one hill. It's called Heartbreak Hill. Starting around mile 13 in the Boston Marathon, there's a series of hills that begin. But at mile 19, you hit Heartbreak Hill. So here's the problem with that. Usually by mile 18 or 19 in a marathon, you are hitting the wall. This is that point in the race where the glycogen in your muscles, I made fun of the doctors earlier, you can make fun of me as I try to explain this, okay? This is where the glycogen in your muscles is depleted and it's being replaced by lactic acid, and your muscles are literally screaming for oxygen and you feel like you can't go any further. And Heartbreak Hill and the Boston Marathon tests runners' endurance and determination every time. And there are heartbreak hills for us in life, especially when we are waiting on the Lord for something. And yet it is often while we are waiting for the Lord and something in life, when we're facing our heartbreak hill moment, that God tends to do the deepest work in us. You willing to say amen to that? I don't know about you, but that's often where it happens for me. When I've hit the wall and my life is screaming inside, it's there that God meets me in the wait and moves some of the biggest rocks in me. Henry Nouwen once said this, "Waiting is a period of learning. The longer we wait, the more we hear about him for whom we are waiting." Eugene Peterson adds this, "Waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in the waiting." I was hoping you'd appreciate that, women in the room. So I wasn't sure if I was going to get booed or laughed. I wasn't sure, but I thought I'd read it anyway. You know, I shared about my precision inner tube ride down the Whitewater Rapids in that Costa Rican river. And there was this cool thing that happened. Every once in a while, what they would do is they would string a rope across the river in one of the more calmer spots right after you got through a Whitewater Rapids section. And the instructions were, whenever you see a rope going across the river, grab it and hang on, and we'll regroup. And so you'd be going down, you just got through this chute of rapids, and you'd see the rope, you're like, you know, and you'd be hanging on for dear life, and everybody would collect back up. And all of a sudden, all the guides that were with you, they would leave you and go down the river ahead of you and position themselves in some of the most difficult parts of the river that were yet to come. And I think in many ways, often when we are waiting on the Lord, it is very much the same. We're in this waiting position, and yet God is going downstream, either doing the work in us or the work around us that we can't see in those moments as we're following him. And in Psalm 27:14, God says, "In the wait, be strong." Because God is going to move some weight that is in your heart. He's going to do some of the heavy lifting in that moment while you are looking to him. And he, in the wait, is going to strengthen you if you are waiting on the Lord and looking to him to give you the strength to push back against the pressures that are pushing against you in whatever it is you're waiting for the Lord for, whatever season you are in as you're doing that. And part of that sometimes is facing those heartbreak hill moments in life, because life doesn't happen on an even plane. There are problems, and sometimes there are bigger problems, and it's often in the midst of those that God does some of the deepest work in us. So be strong. And part of being strong is not just moving weights, but actually giving us the strength to withstand the pressures around us, which is why looking to the Lord while we are in the wait is one of the places that God does the greatest work in us while we're looking to him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 declares this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." So I don't know what you're waiting on the Lord for right now, but I suspect as I look around the room, a few of us are waiting for some things as we're trusting in the Lord and looking to him. And he's saying to every one of us today, be strong, because I'm doing something in you. You might not see it right now, but I'm lifting some weight in you that's a part of this bigger weight that I have you a part of. And if you look to me, if you hope in me, if you expect in me, I'm going to give you the strength to push back the pressures that you are facing in life that would try to pull you out of the main current of just being in my heart and trusting me, because I'm the rock that holds us in the wait. Guardrail number three in the wait is to let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and say it out loud with me. Let your heart take courage. Let's say it again. Let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Courage is the mental or moral strength to not be deterred by danger or pain. I mean, to keep going in the right direction, even while we're waiting. You know, the year was 1928 when Southern California played Georgia Tech in the Rose Bowl in a football game, and an event happened that would go down in history for all time, because an athlete by the name of Roy Riegels was able to get a fumble during that game, and he began to run towards the goal. And he eluded one tackler, and then he eluded another tackler. He had this great move, and he eluded another tackler, and he began to run an 80-yard run, the longest run of the game, until he was tackled on about the one-yard line before the goal by his own teammates because he was running the wrong direction. And for the rest of his life, he would be remembered as Wrong Way Riegels as a result of that. Because in the midst of the confusion of the fumble, he got turned around and began running the wrong direction. And so many times for us in life, especially when we're waiting on the Lord for something, we get a little confused or something happens, the pressures push on us, and we begin to go the wrong direction while we're waiting on the Lord. And so God will sometimes send a friend into our life to speak His word over us. Sometimes He'll send a scripture. Sometimes He'll send an event to get us going in the right direction with His heart again. And sometimes that direction is just waiting right where He is and waiting on Him. And I find it such an interesting juxtaposition of ideas here. To wait on the Lord and to be courageous. So to wait on the Lord as He's moving some rocks in my life, and to be courageous, because I don't know about you, but most of the time when I think of being courageous, I think of plowing forward, not staying where I am and waiting on God and letting Him do something in my life. And courage is being brave in the face of danger. And the reality is we're made brave by looking to who Jesus Christ is in the wait and understanding who He is as we're following Him. God once said to the Israelites, who were very familiar with waiting on the Lord, and He says to us today in His living word in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you." Being strong and courageous go hand in hand in the Bible, and God makes us strong, and when we are strong in Him, it gives us biblical courage to have the mental and moral strength to venture out sometimes, and also to have the mental and moral strength to live with conviction for the Lord when there are all these pressures pushing in on us. And maybe you're waiting for something right now. Consider what it is. And hear the guardrails, the holy guardrails that God gives us in these moments. To wait for Him. Look to Him. Be strong in Him. Let Him move that heavy thing in your heart. Let Him give you strength as you look to Him to push against the pressures. And be courageous. Live with conviction as you're following Him. I had the privilege, not that long ago, and to do a memorial for a woman by the name of Flo McAllister. She lived in Camarillo, and Flo was introduced to me by a friend of mine. She was his grandmother, Flo lived in this care home in Camarillo, and when I did her memorial, I got to learn about her life because I had actually met her a little bit before, because at the age of 83, she came to know Jesus Christ through her grandson. And Flo's nickname at the care home was Hot Lips. She was just this vivacious lady. She was always smiling. She was always greeting people. And she was so frail. I remember when we baptized Flo, she literally had to be lifted into the waters. But when she came out of the waters of baptism, she was cheering so loud and praising God so loud. But all of us remember what happened during the lockdown at care homes. And Flo's prayer during the lockdown was that she could see her family face to face again before she went home to be with the Lord. And we all remember how hard that was to be separated from people we loved and who were in the hospital or in a care home. And Flo was waiting on the Lord. She just wanted to see her family. And while she was waiting, she decided to do something that she hadn't done before, and that was to begin to watch church online. And so she started watching church online on Sundays and basically started a small church in her care home on Sunday mornings. And she'd go around her care home, and she would invite all these people to come and to worship with her. And there were all these people who were disconnected from their family. And over time, this three-year-old follower of Jesus Christ began to lead people to Christ. And some of those people that she led to Christ would die in the early months of that COVID time. So Flo wasn't waiting for the thing. She was waiting for the Lord. And God moved eternal rocks in the lives of others, and I'm sure in her life as well as a result of all that. Would you dare to invite Christ to shape you in the wait? Would you invite him to see him in a new way? To see your heart and maybe something that he's wanting to shape in you while you are waiting on him for something else? And to know that as you hope in him, he will strengthen you. He will not forsake you. It's the promise that he gives us. And he invites us to live with courage, because it takes courage to trust the Lord to change relationships when they are difficult. And it takes courage to have God's heart when you're walking through difficult things and waiting for him to change relationships. And it takes courage actually to live with the fruit of the Spirit instead of our own fruit in times when we are waiting and we're frustrated and want things to move along. Galatians 5:22 says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, even in the wait." God promises in Philippians 1:6, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus." Even in the wait, we have the promise of God working. And Psalm 27 ends with this final reminder. And this reminder is a little bit like those rocks that had been strategically placed in this river as I was floating down with my family in those precision-engineered inner tubes, going down these rapids, but these boulders had been engineered. They had been placed in just the right places to keep us in the main flow and the safest flow. And what God has given us in Psalm 27:14 are these guardrails that keep us in line with the heart of Christ while we are waiting on him for different things in life. And he repeats one of them: wait for the Lord. Be strong. And let your heart take courage. Yes. Wait for the Lord. I think God reminds us once again not to wait for the thing, but to wait for him. And inside that last reminder is a much greater reminder that we are waiting for the Lord. And one day, he is going to return. And all of us as followers of Jesus Christ have this great wait that we are to hope in and expect in and to look to, that one day Christ is going to come back again, and either he's going to come back or we're going to go home to see him first. And we're reminded that no matter what else is going on in life, to wait for the Lord. Would you pray with me? Father God, we come to you as your church. And Lord, we just want to look to you right now. God, we pray for things. We pray for worship pastors and executive pastors. We pray for our children and for lives to be changed around us. And Lord, in the midst of it all, we're just reminded to wait for you and to look to you. Lord, would you give us the eyes to see you, to look to you, to place our hope in you, while we wait for whatever it is. And Lord, we ask you to give us the strength to be strong and to let us know if there are some rocks that we need to move in our own heart while we're waiting. And Lord, we thank you that as we look to you, you will give us the strength to push back against the pressures of life. And as we look to you, you will give us the conviction just to stay close to your heart in the wait. And Jesus, today, we just look forward that one day you're going to return. And we want to live in light of that return. God, help us to be strong as a church, to have a gospel heart, be filled with your fruit, and to trust you for all you have ahead. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.